If you lift your foot up, you come through, you'll see his name. Okay. And it's not Clark's. But it's the one who was under our feet, we're told. It's the devil, it's Satan. And he was the ruler of the world at that time. Adam had given him the power. He'd given him the authority to rule. But he did it unjustly. All mankind knew was about bondage. It was about... We've got a bit of feedback, haven't we? It was all mankind knew was about bondage, and that had been brought about by Adam and Eve. They'd let it in. Hallelujah. But we know that God sent his only Son to turn that around. God wanted to deliver us, big word here, Adamic age. All it means is God wanted to deliver us, and he knew it would be anybody who's listened to this tape, it's quite comical at this time. Thank you. It's getting even more comical. Hallelujah. But God wants to deliver us, wanted to deliver us, has delivered us, in fact, from the Adamic bondage that we were under. Hallelujah. Jesus came that he might destroy the power of Satan. And we can find that in 1 John 3 verse 8. I think it is. Maybe I've written that down wrong. Oh, 3. 1 John 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That was Jesus' main aim, to destroy the works of the devil and to bring us into freedom. He was our Saviour, sent by God. And the Bible says that he was approved by God. He was approved by him, and we'll find that one in Acts 2, verse 22 to 28, if you want to look there. We're not going to look at all these scriptures, but I wanted to back up what we were saying. He was approved by God. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by the miracles and the wonders and the signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye also yourselves also know. God did the miracles through Jesus.
Yeah.
So that gives you a clue who's going to do the miracles through you.
Amen.
And it's not us. It's God.
Praise
God works through us.
Yeah.
Because we're covered by that blood.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He needed to send someone who could withstand the onslaught of the devil. Who wouldn't back down. That's why he didn't give it to any of us. But in John 10:10, it says that, let's have a quick look at that one. This is what the devil came to do. It also tells us what Jesus came to do. So these are just scriptures, just putting down the foundation of where we're heading off to. It says, and the thief, that's Satan, cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, this is Jesus, it says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just as Ken read this, that it brought us into a wealthy place.
It did.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Taking us to hell and back. Hallelujah. Didn't leave us. Hallelujah. So it's about a Saviour. That's what we're looking at. It's about the Saviour of the world. It's not just a baby that was born. It was for more than that. And it was not just for anyone. It was for all of us.
Yeah.
Or it was for anyone, but it's for all of us now. Past, present and future. Let's have a look in Hebrews 2. This tells us a little bit more. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. It says, For so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, him likewise, took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he's destroyed him, we're told that. The word doesn't lie. It's told us that he's destroyed him. Jesus' mission was to set humanity free. Free from that oppression. No matter what the cost was.
Yes.
And the cost of Jesus was his death.
Yes.
On the cross. And he was, as he was, Ken, because it just fits in so nicely, we've been to hell and back with Jesus, because it says in Acts 2:31, he was sent to the bowels of the earth and paid for us, that we are free.
Yeah.
So if we look in Acts 2, Acts 2 and verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. I was once bowled down, and I think Andrew had likewise with that, that a lot of ministers say, well, Jesus never went to hell. Never went there. But the word tells us he did. But he didn't stop there. He went there for a reason. He went there to gather the keys of the kingdom and bring them back for us. Hallelujah. They didn't die there, didn't stop there. But he paid the price for us that we might be free. He was triumphant over the devil's powers. He was the champion. He's our champion.
Yes. Amen.
He's the one to look to.
Yes.
He's a deliverer.
Yes.
He's the saviour. He's the one that sets us free. In Colossians 2 and verse 15. It says, and he, spoiling the principalities, spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he didn't do it quietly in the back room. Oh no. He made a big spectacle of it to make sure everybody saw. Hallelujah. Did it openly. Hallelujah. We've been going through some, in our family, some things that have come into the open. Trying to say what they are or what it was about, but once things come into the open, there's a freshness.
Yes, there is.
Once things can be sorted out,
yeah.
There's a peace and tranquility and a different atmosphere.
Amen.
So that's why you had to bring them into the open for all to see, that nothing may be hid.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to go back to Luke. I just want to read one verse. So that was the soul. That was the aim of Jesus. That was the aim of the God's aim when God sent him for one mission only, to set us free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! That we might have the best. Hallelujah. So we've got Luke 2 and verse 14. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. What a powerful verse that is. It's talking about God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. And lots of people have said that over the Christmas break. People that don't believe in the word, don't believe in Jesus, never heard of Jesus, but they'll be using those words when they greet other people. But they don't know what they mean. But they're such powerful words.
Yeah.
Peace. It's not just a quietness. It's not just, we could all just sit here quietly and switch all the radiators off so they don't make a noise, and we could sit in peace. But that's not entirely it, because inside you could be turmoil.
Yeah.
In fact, probably inside some of you is turmoil at this time. But God says you can have that peace inside you.
Amen.
That peace that passes all understanding, the word tells us. Hallelujah. One meaning of peace, it means freedom from mental and spiritual conflict. Hallelujah. So you can have peace in your mind. So many people want peace in their mind there. Ephesians 2. And we're going to look at three different meanings of the word peace over the next 2 or 3 hours. Only joking, Jonathan, only joking. I thought that's why he brought some sandwiches. Hallelujah. Yeah, have a Kit Kat. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. It says, "For he is our peace,
yes,
who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." He's brought us together. He's made the peace. He is our peace. God is the peace in our lives. Once God's in our lives, you then get the peace.
Yes.
I'm not saying you don't have to do something and work on it, and but it's available. It's there. It's there. You're in peace. No worries. That's it. He's speaking to me. Jesus, our peace. Paul says that we have peace with God. Hallelujah. He's not mad with us. Hallelujah. Jesus' death brought about that peace. And God's not mad with us anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because he doesn't see us. Once we're born again, he doesn't see us as we see ourselves. He just sees Jesus. Because in the covenant, we swap. Jesus got he got all our rammel, and we got all his goodness and his peace and his prosperity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God's not mad. Then he's not holding on to our faults or our sins. He forgets them. He told that in the word. We hold on to things. We bring things back up again. You said you were going to change. But I remember when. But God won't do that. Because God goes, I can't remember when you last did it. No, I can't remember. It's just because I choose to forget. I choose to forget what you've done. When you come to him and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen automatically. That's that we have to do. We have to come, we have to mean it. We have to change. You've got to be seen to be changing. I mean, we can ask God anything, and he's just and faithful, the word tells us, to meet that need.
Yes.
He will ask him anything. Which is in the word. A man rang me up the other night, and he said to me, asked me a few questions. He said, what car would you like? Well, at this point, Daniel sat at the side of me, and he said, I think after your... after what's happened this week, Dad, I think you ought to have an armoured car. Well, they laughed at this chap on the car. And then Daniel said, no, ask him for a Ferrari. So we asked him for a Ferrari, but he just laughed and he sent a Ford instead. Well, it starts with an F, I suppose, isn't it? You know, true, yeah, that's right. But you've got to ask. You've got to have an aim. Yeah? I could have asked for something worse. Hallelujah. So he's just and faithful to meet that need. You met that need. We've all had needs met, and we'll all have more needs to be met today, tomorrow, and further on. The second meaning we're going to look at is we've got the freedom from mental and spiritual conflict. This is the word peace. Another one is tranquility.
Yeah.
It's not a word that you hear a lot.
No,
lot used. It's not used a lot, tranquility. Probably some of these exotic holidays might get mentioned, and that conjures up the image of what it's all about. You know, blue seas, nice trees and sand and sky, and the rep doing all the running around for you, you know, things like that. Tranquility. Freedom from agitation. Oh, hallelujah. That's another meaning of peace. Yeah. Tranquility. Freedom from agitation. Hallelujah. So has anybody else... Well, I don't suppose it's only me that suffers from agitation and harassment. Yeah, nobody else will have suffered from that, will they? Never seen you. What, even today? Even today. But Jesus come that you might not have to suffer that anymore.
Amen.
Okay, amen. You just give all that agitation, all that hassle and harassment, and just say, it's not mine. It must be somebody else's.
Amen.
Take it, I don't want it. I've been a little harassed this week. Just a little.
I've come out in victory.
Car had 51 miles on the clock when it arrived. Oh, praise God, I haven't had a new car for years. Wow. Mate, it's a bit stiff. It's not very comfy, is it, my dear? It's a bit Fordish. Seats are a bit... But praise God. Can you afford it? No, I don't think I could, actually. No, I only afford it because somebody else is paying for it. But praise God. That's scriptural as well, isn't it? You know. God says, don't worry about it. Ask. You know. I'll meet the need. I'll pay for it. No problem. I'll sort it out. But the little things. It's the little things that just break that tranquility. It's not the big things. I mean, I wasn't really tranquil on Thursday night when I left work, you know, so I didn't really lose it when that car hit me. You know, it didn't... it had gone before then, really. But it's the little things, isn't it? Jesus said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
It is.
You know, it's the... You put something down you can't find. I got really annoyed the other day. I couldn't find the teapot. I could not see. I asked Luke, where's the teapot? We looked in cupboards. I told Andrew. I said, we looked everywhere for this teapot. And Zina walked into the kitchen. I said, where are you in the teapot? And I just turned round. It's there, right in front of my eyes on the windowsill. And I couldn't see it anywhere. But it's little things, you know. You know, your favourite socks and you've only got one. Because the other one's gone into that special place. Wherever they disappear to. You know, it's a nice comfy sock. It's and you've only got one. Well, you do have these things. There's a sock heaven. Do you know about that? They disappear to sock heaven. We've got a poem about it. You might like to read it. So it's little things like your car won't start, you know, you can't find your favourite shoes, you know, you can't get your tie done. It's got to be right. Because if it hangs too far over your trousers, it doesn't look right, so you have to do it again. And sometimes you do it, and then sometimes your trouser waist alter a bit, so you've got to shorten it anyhow. Don't I get a bit upset on ties? Yes, dear. Things like that. Just little things that upset you.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a job and you put your tools down. You can't find it again, you know, just, or the pencil that's behind your ear. Yeah. So it's the little things that you lose your peace, you lose your tranquility. Maps, what about them? I tried it the other day, actually. It was perfect. We're out on this walk, and it was winding me up a little, this walk. It just didn't make sense. It was one of these with a written commentary. And I thought, what is this on about? Just didn't make sense. China, it probably was. And I thought, I'll wind Zina up now. I flicked it like this. And it landed on top of this bush. It was perfect. So, but this bush was on top of a wall. So this bush was about 12 foot up. And there's all these other walkers coming, so we had to sort of loiter. Because I weren't going climbing. Well, they were watching. Then I had to climb. And what I noticed was, it was a hawthorn edge. Did you? I came down, they were sticking out everything. And I thought, well, I was just trying to wind Zena up, and I wound myself up even more. Agitation, it's just little things nipping at your heel. Just little, you know, things like that. It just robs your peace. yeah, very good. Yeah, you lose it because you're in your vegetation. You get agitated, not vegetated. It's true, isn't it? Your peace, it's lost by the little thing. So we've two definitions now. We've got one definition of spiritual and mental torment. We've got one, you're free from agitation. And the third one, I like this one. I don't suffer from it at all, but it's a good one. It says, an absence of stress.
Yeah. Amen.
There was a little over there. What was that? Definition. Another definition is absence of stress.
Amen. We all need that.
Amen. That's peace. Peace in your life, an absence of stress. We don't have that, do we? Stress. Not address. Stress. Can you all imagine living in a world free from stress? No problems. Doctors say that it's quite close to the number one killer of humanity, stress in your lives. You get so wound up that you come out in blobs and bumps and lumps and have heart attacks and strokes, and it leads to all sorts of deadly things that kill you. And then once you're dead, you're deadish. So it's a good one not to have, Luke. My Luke will never have it, will he? Yeah, I agree. No. No, stressless Luke. Can we have your formula, please, written out? We'll all have some. No. Stress destroys people, I put down. It destroys families, it destroys marriages, relationships. It destroys your potential, of which we talked about for about 18 months at one point in Harvest Field History. Your potential, that's inside you that wants to come out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we are under quite a lot of stress. It's a stressful world we live in. Things move fairly quickly these days. And there's been more development in the last 60 years now than there were in the previous 500. So things have moved a lot quicker. And it's a stressful world. But peace is the absence of stress.
Amen.
Right? So you can look at it two ways. If you have peace, you're stress free. On the other hand, if you're stressed out, absence of peace. So you can't have them both. You can't have a bit of one, a bit of the other. It's either in or out, really. And you all know that for yourselves, don't you? When you're stressed, you're stressed. There's not I've just got 50% stress and 50% peace. You know, you're either one or the other, aren't you? You know, you're either going up the wall or you're not. Hallelujah. So we need this peace in our lives. It's there. It's available. We need it. We need to find it. We need to get it. We need to put it in there. Psalm 29, we'll go back to the Old Testament, just have a look at a few. Psalm 29 and verse 11. It says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Yes.
Or you could say, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with the absence of stress. Hallelujah. So you could put in there the absence of stress, which says the same thing. The Lord will give strength unto his people. He's giving us the strength. The Lord will bless his people with peace. To bless somebody with something, it's not something that they earn. It's not something that you can go out and buy. It's a free gift. I could have £200 in this pocket. I am tired. I've only got a tissue, actually. And I could say to Kent, I want to bless you with that £200, Kent.
Okay.
And he'd snap my hand off. And he wouldn't see it for dust. No. That's a blessing. He hadn't earned that.
No.
In any way, so to be blessed with peace, it's given to you. Not that you'd ever deserved it, you've just given it. Hallelujah. Sorry to let you down on that one, Ken, but you can have a tissue. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sounds good. So we need the absence of stress. What causes stress? Come on, let's have some feedback. I've done all talking up to now. What causes stress?
Being out of peace.
Very good. Well, somebody's been listening. Well done.
Situations
you're in.
Exams.
Exams, yeah. And you can, yeah, we've got another one of the exams at the back there. Children. Yeah, exams, children, definitely, yeah. Yeah, your jobs, your
money,
lack of it usually. Yeah. Parents. Well, it can, yeah, we can. Right, we'll stop there, yeah. not, I don't want, it's on tape, don't you? I'm going to send your husband the tape.
Sorry.
No. So I've got down, yeah, jobs, families, education, so that roughly covers all those. Bottom line is, if you're stressed, it's not your job that's doing it. Or anything else that you might not be doing or doing. It's basically not spending enough time in God's Word.
That's it.
It's not spending enough time in the Word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, Edwin had a problem with that because his eyes are not 100% yet. That he's having a problem reading. But we sorted that one out, didn't we, Edwin? Mm-hmm. We got somebody else to read it to you.
Amen.
So he sits and listens to the Word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So there's lots of ways of getting into the Word and hearing the Word, but he's getting plenty of the Word. And the side effect of it all is that his wife's having to load the cassette player for him. Is that right? So Sylvia's having to listen as well, isn't she?
Amen.
And she was at one bit, she was listening as well. Well, you want to pull the headphones out and let her listen as well. Hallelujah. I'm not accepting it. You get it back. Could have a tennis with it, couldn't we? Just keep knocking it backwards and forwards. That's right. Isaiah 26 tells a little bit more about this. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 and maybe 4, I think it is. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So it goes on to say, trust ye in the Lord forever.
Yes, yeah.
Well, not just for a bit, forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's trusting in him, keeping his word mindful, keeping him mindful. I mean, the word is God, the God is word, his word. Perfect peace, though, that's the one out there. Perfect peace. So there is an ordinary peace, but then there's a perfect one. If something's perfect, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we all look for that perfection, don't we? You go shopping and you don't just pick any jumper or blouse or whatever. You look for the one that you think's perfect. It's not any mark on it, any little thing like that. It's got to be perfect. And that's what God wants for us. He wants perfection. He wants perfect peace.
Amen.
That means perfect means there's no opportunity for stress. Hallelujah. Just remaining in God. Psalm 119. Not all of it, you're alright. But we're going to look at verse 165. Which is nearly at the end. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, or love your word, and nothing shall offend them.
Praise God.
Nothing shall offend them. They never get offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, or thy word, and nothing shall offend them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Love the word of God. The absence of peace comes when we allow our minds to wander onto all the junk in the world.
That's right.
You know, watching the TV, and by the time you've finished it, you've got bird flu, you've got, you know, you feel the symptoms of something else coming on. And then you watch the weather, and you know, that depresses you because it's rain and it's misty and it's... And that's July. But you can't you so easily get... just by watching the news. It's a bit, really, we've got to spend time in the things which will bring perfect peace. I mean, this is a really fundamental, basic message. Really, it's nothing earth-shattering, it's just... But we let the simple truths go, don't we? We're so easily forgetful. You know, something new comes in and you run with that for a while, and you forget the other ones. I'm told that you can only have in your memory at once, you can only have five different things happening, and once number six arrives, it pushes the first one out, so you still have five in there, but you've lost one. It's gone into your, further back into your memory. So that's why we have to recall them up, don't we? Yeah, but it's remembering to recall them, because you can't forget them, you can't remember them in the first place. So it's spend time in the things that will bring perfect peace. So we need to create an atmosphere of peace. So this is where I said we've got to do something. It's available. Jesus died on the cross and he made all this available to us. But we have got a part in there. We need to create that atmosphere for peace. And I was listening to some tapes as well, that CDs now, we've moved on, haven't we? CDs that Geraldine had passed on to me from Jerry Savelle. And he was saying at one bit, and they said, can you remember when you first got saved? He said, and you couldn't wait for the next meeting, you went to every Bible study, every prayer meeting, the next preacher that arrived, you were in his meeting, you were really keen, you were really eager to get in there. And there was that eagerness to suck in the word of God. You've still got oppression around. You've still got the... I remember my parents, because we hadn't got any children, and I got saved at Billy Graham, and then, oh, what have you done? They'll want all your money off you. Oh, they'll do this, and oh, they'll that. And you thought, really? Well, they never mentioned any of this when they were out there. They seem a nice enough set of people, you know. But they say there's all this to start putting this down, and this, and you still had all the bills to pay and everything like that, but it was different at first. You were eager, you were keen. And this is what it's all, that was it. We were creating at that time that atmosphere of peace. Because we were reading, we were in the Word so much, we were soaking it up, we were saturated even. Saturated means to soak, to fill up. So we should be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word. And I was thinking about it, you don't know why, I got this T-shirt on. I thought if you, T-shirt, when I was doing this, with it. It just fits your normal t-shirt. But if you wet a t-shirt, you know, if you've got a t-shirt on and it's wet through, or you put a wet t-shirt on, it clings to you. It sticks to you, and that's what the word should be. It should be clinging to you, shouldn't it? It should be sticking.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hardly get, you'll try and get a wet t-shirt off, and you've got to fight with it to get it off. When we used to go swimming and do all these extra things, you used to have to go in your pyjamas and things into the water, and you couldn't get them off once you got out. Well, you couldn't get out of water, was so heavy. And then once you get out, you couldn't get these things off because they were clung to you. And that's what the word should be. It should be stuck to us so that we struggle to get rid of it. That the world falls off us easier than God's word falls off us. Hallelujah. So it's not denying that things are happening in the world. I know, that just need to bring that one in. It's not just going around saying, well, you know, I don't believe that that's happening. Because things do happen in the world, and we do need to pray for things that happen in the world. But we need to be listening. But we need to, so we need to know how to pray. We need to be soaked in the Word of God. So what are we doing with the Word of God? It's full of promises. I've mentioned this one earlier. God says it'll meet all our needs through His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's met all our needs. So it all rests on us, really.
It does.
We're told we're to sort out our own salvation. So it's down to us.
Yeah.
No one else can do it for you. People can give you ideas, can help you, can encourage you. But at the end of it, they can't do it for you. I can't go and do Daniel's exam next Friday for him. I couldn't anyhow. But I couldn't go in, even if we swapped heads, you know, and I got all his knowledge about whatever he's doing. It's up to him to do it. And it's the same with the Word. It's like when he first got saved, and you're given lots of tapes to encourage you. You know, people are always giving you tapes and things, you know. So in the car, there was always somebody preaching to you as you went along. And at home, we'd always got some tapes on. You know, somebody says, oh, listen to this one, you know. Let me know what you think by Wednesday, you know. So it was like giving you only a bit of pressure, I suppose. But to make sure you listened. And you were filled all the time with it. You were getting a dose of God. Hallelujah. Rather than the dose of the world. Hallelujah. And yeah, I've started doing that. I had to go on the bus on Friday to work, and lads have bought me a CD player with it, you know, plug it in. And it was to plug into the car, but since the car's not working, I just had it on my headphones. And I was going to work, I would listen to Jerry Seville, something like that, and it absolutely perfect. 45-minute journey, 45-minute CD.
Oh,
wow. You know, because there's nothing most exciting about travelling on the bus, is there, really?
No.
And it's just getting the word in there, getting the word in. And I was looking for a tape at the unit the other day for something. I found this audio tape, and I found this other one, and it was Jesse Duplantis. Well, I haven't heard Jesse Duplantis for years. I thought, oh, I'll borrow that, listen to it. Well, now we're rolling around. I said to Zina, she said, oh, let me listen to it. And it's contagious. You know, oh, let me have a listen to that tape then, you know. And it you think, yeah, I've lost this, I've missed this. You know, why haven't I been doing this? Why haven't I been, you know, this man's taped this and sent it out for a reason. It's not just to sit on the shelf. So we need to stop thinking, and we need to start listening. To create an atmosphere of peace. We start thinking and we think and we start, and that's when we start getting confused.
Yeah.
Not saying you haven't got to think, but don't think too much. But it's really, start listening to God, start listening to His Word, start listening to Him, what He's telling you to do. So we need God's Word saturating us on a daily basis. Oh, and I mentioned about the t-shirt. Some of my notes, I've got arrows everywhere, yeah. Okay. Nobody else has followed my notes. Colossians. Let's look at the word. Colossians 3. And verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, fantastic words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the Amplified, it says, let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. Hallelujah. It's there. But God's best is summed up really in Philippians 4. Philippians 4. So I'm going to read it to you out of the Mickey Mouse version. It's verse 6 and 7 we're going to look at, and I'll just read it out of the message. Remember the name there. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray.
Yeah.
Let petitions and prayers shape your worries into prayers.
Yeah.
Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down.
Right.
It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And in here it the King James, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And the Amplified, do not fret or have an anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, define requests, with thanksgiving continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and guard and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that peace is mounting a guard. It's protecting you. Hallelujah. So we're not, and I can't remember how many times, but fret not comes within the Bible quite a few times. So do not fret or be anxious about anything. It's easy to say that. I must admit I've been a bit anxious and this week. But you've just got to say, well, God, I can't sort this out.
No.
You better sort this out.
Absolutely.
It's God's best. Stress-free. Peace. Peace in all that we do.
Yeah.
So a worry-free, fret-free existence is available.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it doesn't come on a plate.
No.
We have to do something as well. Yeah. God's done most of it. We've got to do the other 2 or 3%.
Yeah.
But we've got to get involved. So from the very beginning, from the birth of Jesus, God's best for us was a stress-free life.
Yeah.
And He made it available.
Yeah,
He said, just give it to me. And I'll sort it and give you the answer.
Yeah.
He's not saying He'll go out and do it, but He'll give you the answer to come back
yeah.
and give out. Because when we're stressed out, we're not in control of our lives. You're not in control. You're like an autopilot. But I believe Satan must be in control of you then, because you're not focusing on where you should be. You're not at peace. But finally, we need to do whatever it takes to live a stress-free life.
Yeah.
If we need to spend more time in the Word, that's what we need to do. If we need to reschedule things, and this message must come nearly every year, that, you know, we reschedule. You look at your life as a filing cabinet. You know, you reorganize it, and there's things at the front that are important, and there's things at the back. Well, if I get round to them, I get round to them. If I don't, I don't. And some of them just fall out of the back, don't they? And somewhat shredded. Because some things I remember when I went to university not so many years ago, and we thought we'd give lots of things up that we'd get back to. And we never have. So we never needed them, really. We're just things that were filling a space up that should have been filled up with seeking God. Hallelujah. So we need to act on the Word. We need to do it, we're told. It's no use just reading it, as faith without actions is dead. Hallelujah. So we need to have a stress-free life. And that's for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hope you've been blessed.
I am.
Hallelujah.